So our sermon text this morning comes from Psalm chapter 84. That's found on page 493 of your pew Bible. Psalm 84 and verses 1 through 12. And God's word says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, and whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you." Let's pray. Our Father, we come to you and ask for your help as we come to this portion of your word and Psalm 84. We thank you, Holy Spirit, who inspired your word and inspired the men who wrote it as you carry them along. And we pray that it would be to our benefit, and that you would grant us your spirit and give us ears to hear what you have to say to us this morning, and that you would plant a seed in our hearts, and that it would grow 30, 60, and 100-fold. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I just started preparing the sermon on Friday. I started preparing mentally about Wednesday. I looked at all the sermons I had in my queue, as it were, and I didn't like any of them. So this sermon is coming straight out of my devotional time, which I spend my devotional time talking on the phone with my mom. So me and my mom, we read the Psalms together, or we read the Scriptures together, and we're just in the Psalms here, and we're up to chapter 84, and I was reading this with her Thursday or so, and I was like, oh, this is what I'll preach. So Psalm 84 is where we're at today. So if you were to ask someone, what is the happiest place on earth, you would get many different answers. Maybe you're thinking of a few answers yourself right now. What is the happiest place on earth? Well, for the people of God, the happiest place on earth is right here, this morning, amongst his people and among your brothers and sisters in Christ, because this is where we meet. This is where we meet to draw close to God, to experience his presence with us. This is his house, his dwelling place. This is where we meet with him. And so it is a happy place. It's a happy place to be for the Christian. Someone might say, well, I can experience God anywhere that I go. In fact, I experience God most in the mountains. Or I experience God most as I walk on the beach and I see a sunset or a sunrise. Or I experience God most when I'm deep into a theological book or in my private Bible study or something like this. And certainly, God can meet you in those places, and he does, and blesses you. But God promises his presence, and he promises his blessing most fully to you in corporate worship, and with the preaching of the word and the sacraments, and in corporate prayer and singing. Jesus says, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." And so to be able to worship God with his people should be the greatest desire of the Christian believer and the happiest place on earth to be. Well, that's where the psalmist picks up here in Psalm 84. Three times He says, blessed or happy are those who dwell in your house in verse 4. And then in verse 5, he says, blessed are those whose strength is in you. And then in verse 12, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Another word for blessing is to be happy. So the Christian is happiest or should be happiest in worship. This psalm, Psalm 84, it's a pilgrim psalm or it's a hymn psalm. It's written, some say, by King David. But most likely it's written by the sons of Korah. And if you're familiar with the sons of Korah, they come from the sons of Korah that rebelled against Moses. And Korah was Moses' cousin. And they rebelled and were swallowed up one day in quicksand. But these are good sons of Korah that had descended here, and we read about them in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, where they're worshiping with King Jehoshaphat. They were appointed as the singers for worship in the Lord's temple, and most likely one of them or a few of them wrote this psalm. This psalm is much like the Psalms of Ascent. If you're familiar with those, Psalms 120 to 134. So when the people of God all around the people who were dispersed, they would go to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. This would have been the Feast of Tabernacles, and it would be a long, arduous journey, so they would have to do something on the way, and they would sing these psalms, and this psalm they would sing as well. And we can pick that up where it says in verse 7, each one appears before God in Zion. Zion is another name for Jerusalem. So they were, as they were headed towards Zion or Jerusalem, they would sing this psalm. So as the psalmist begins this psalm, there is an anticipation. There is an excitement, almost a restlessness to be in his presence because he's going to meet with God's people and he's going to meet with the living God and to be in his lovely dwelling place. That's what verse 1 says. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. I can't wait to get there. I'm so excited. I'm so happy to be on my way to worship. So God's dwelling place is not just lovely because of the beauty of the temple or the appearance of the temple, although the temple was a beautiful architecture. But the dwelling place of God is lovely because God is there. And the word lovely there doesn't just mean beautiful, but it means a place of rest and contentment and a welcoming place where God welcomes his people to meet with him. It says at the end of the first verse, the Lord of hosts. And if you don't know what the word host means there, it means the Lord of the heavenly armies, which can be a little bit intimidating. You know, you're coming to the Lord God Almighty, the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God. And you might say, I don't know if I want to get close to that God. If you really think about that, how holy God is, do I really want to come near to his presence? But God condescends to us, and he makes a dwelling place for himself that he can meet with his people. And so when he meets with us, we're not afraid to come to him. In fact, we love to come to him, and we're confident to come to him because he is welcoming us. And he reminds us when we meet here that he loves us, and we're happy to be here with him. So verse 2, this is what excites the psalmist the most. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. There's an excitement here. I really can't wait to get there. And we see the word flesh here. Well, when we see the word flesh in the Bible, a lot of times it means sin, but not here. What this means is my heart and my flesh, like my whole being, sings for joy. He's saying, I'm so happy to be going to church today. Shouldn't that be our cry too? God's dwelling place is lovely because God is lovely, and we can rest and be happy and blessed in him as we meet together to worship him. His dwelling place is so lovely that even the birds feel comfortable building their nests. As you look outside here, there's a bird's nest under the covered drop-off, and I was thinking about that as I read this verse 3, that, you know, the psalmist here, he's like jealous of the birds, that he gets to be near to God's house all the time. And he's saying, you know, right now, as I'm on this way to the temple, that I'm jealous of the birds that are already there, and they're already being taken care of by God. And we read that in our New Testament reading from Matthew, that the birds are taken care of. God takes care of his creation. Your heavenly Father feeds them. So there's no need to be anxious about anything. We have the birds are already here and being taken care of. And so how much more, if God takes care of the birds, will he take care of you? That's what Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount. You are God's special creation, made in his image, and in Christ remade. You've been taken from dead in your sins to alive in Christ. So if he takes care of the birds, he'll take care of you too. And then you can say that he's not just any king or any God. You can't just say he's just the Lord of hosts. But here at the end of verse 3, he says, my king and my God. And so the response to that is in verse 4, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. The response to that is should be worship and singing. Since God is my king and my God, I am blessed and happy to dwell in his house. And this is a cause for singing, ever singing your praise. Well, if you came to worship this morning and we didn't sing, that would feel a little bit awkward. We would feel a little bit out of place. Like, what are we doing here? Why aren't we singing? We should be singing. Because the Lord has been so good to us. The Lord has saved us. The Lord has brought us from dead in our sins to alive in Christ. We should be singing this morning. And so, it's a glad thing to be singing in God's dwelling place. And so, secondly, we see here, as verse 5 picks up, the strength of God's people. These people, as I said before, they would come from long distances and much difficulty to get to Jerusalem. But they are blessed and they are happy as they come. And so the same could be said of you this morning. Maybe you came from a long distance this morning. And maybe some Sunday mornings, or maybe this Sunday morning, you came into worship with much difficulty going on in your life. And you're going through a tough time. But you're here, and that whatever tough times you're going through didn't stop you from coming to worship the Lord this morning. Because this is the lovely place, as verse 1 says. This is the place of rest. This is the place of blessing. This is the place of grace in Christ. And we are all weak in ourselves. Each one of us, even if we're not going through major difficult times, we come in here with some kind of weakness. And so where does our strength come from? 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So the strength of the Christian is not in ourselves, but it's in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us. Our strength is not summoned up in ourselves apart from Christ, but rather as we are united to him. That's where our strength comes from. Our strength comes from Christ. And so verse 5 says, blessed are those whose strength is in you. And the people here are also described in verse 6 that go through the valley of Baca. And you probably aren't familiar with the valley of Baca because this is the only time in the whole Bible that it's mentioned. This is likely a real place, this Valley of Baca, but the word Baca means weeping. So this would have been a dry, arid place where not much vegetation would grow. And maybe it's called the Valley of Weeping because maybe all that would grow were the weeping willows, or weeping trees there. But there's a metaphor here that as the people are on their way, they are weeping because of the difficulties of this life and the difficulties of this fallen world. And we go through many tears, many weepings, times of weeping in this life for various reasons. But even in those valleys of weeping, we find refreshment in the Lord. And that's what verse 6 says. They go to make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. As Psalm 23 says, "So I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You are with me." And as Jesus tells us in John 4, you will, in Christ, you will find rivers of living water. So here it says they make a place of springs. The early rain covers it with pools. So even though you're going through the valley of Baca, you will find refreshment in the Lord as you come to Him in worship. When we go through something like a sickness or death in the family or some other tribulation, there's no reason to believe that we would be strong. In fact, we are often at our weakest point when those things happen. And yet, for us who are in Christ, we are strong because God has not left us. God never never tells us to just get over it when something happens. No, He is gentle. He cares for us. He is gracious. Psalm 56 tells us that God keeps track of all our sorrows. He keeps our tears all in a bottle. And as we're going through Revelation series, Revelation 21 says that God promises to wipe every tear from our eyes and that one day death will be no more. And that's how we can go through these valleys, because of we cling to God's promises, and that's where our strength comes from. Even in our weakest moments, we can be strong because of God's promises. So even in this world, when we go from tragedy to one tragedy to another, it says here that God's people go from strength to strength in verse 7. Each one appears before God in Zion. Each one of us comes here to worship, and each one of you, if you come to worship Him here, you will be strengthened by His grace and by His Son. Matthew Henry, the 18th century commentator, says, "Those that press forward in their Christian course shall find God add grace to their graces." God, isn't that true, that in the Christian life, that you've already received grace and God continues to give you His grace? You go from strength to strength, even in times of weakness. So the third point here is to, and it's a short one, but the third point is to remember to pray. So there's a little shift here in this psalm in verse 8 and following. It's almost as if the psalmist stops the people on the journey and says, "Let's sit down here to pray." And he prays for God's protection. "O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Be our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed." So he prays for God's protection, that God is our shield, that he would protect us. And he also says, "Remember the face of the anointed," which would have been at that time the king. But we know that the ultimate anointed is our king, the Lord Jesus. So the call here is for God to look upon Jesus and not our sins, to look away from us and to look upon His anointed. Look on the face of Him. Don't look at my face. In Christ, we are protected and provided for, as it says in verse the ninth verse, and also in verse 11. "Behold, our shield and our protection from the world, the flesh, and the devil." This is what God provides for us. Our protection from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And then in verse 11, it says, "The Lord God is a sun and shield." So not only does God protect us, but He provides for us. He bestows favor and honor. So So then fourthly and lastly, we see that it's better to be a doorkeeper. Verse 10 says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. You see, there's no one who's insignificant in God's kingdom. There are those who are gifted in various ways, those who are gifted in teaching and preaching, those who are gifted with service, those are gifted with helping and with gifts of administration and so on. But there's no one who is insignificant in God's kingdom and in the church. So never think of yourself as someone who doesn't count or someone who can't contribute to the church. Some of the greatest Christians that I've known, some of the greatest Christians that I know here, are those who greet you at the door and who say good morning to you as you walk in. And those who just have one word of encouragement or just say, I'm praying for you. Don't take that lightly. Pray for everything that's going on. Pray for your pastors and your brothers and sisters around you and for the hope of the gospel to go forth. And it is a great privilege and a great honor and a great duty and task to pray. So it says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper here than in the tents of the wicked. What can you do if you're a sinner in the tents of the wicked? What can you do for the kingdom of God? Nothing. But what can you do in the church? A lot. More than you can think of. I think Tom said that in the prayer this morning. When we give, you do more than you can ever imagine. You don't know what everyone is going through. If you say, I'm going to pray for you, I'll tell you this. I'll give you some advice. Whenever you see an announcement through the email or on Facebook, you guys say, you'll see so-and-so is sick. And I see a lot of times it says praying for so-and-so. When I put that praying, I pray right away, so I don't forget. And it's good to put praying, and it's good to know that I'm being prayed for if I'm that person and I see that. But when you do that, pray right away, and then continue to pray. Write it down. Write down a list of people to pray for. And you will be blessed by that, and the person you pray for will be blessed by that, and God will be glorified. Because God will answer that prayer. And He'll answer that prayer in His time. So it is better to be in the house of God as a doorkeeper than in the tents of the wicked. And there's not much notoriety in doorkeepers. There's not much praise. But it's far better and a great blessing to be a doorkeeper in the house of God. And then it says also in verse 10, it's better to spend a day worshiping God than anything else. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. It's better to, because worshiping the Lord is as close to heaven as we will get this side of eternity. If you think about that. Where is heaven? Up there somewhere. Where is it? Well, it's where Jesus is. Oh, and where is Jesus most present here on earth? He's here with us this morning. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am amongst them. So you will not get any closer to heaven this side of eternity, but right here in as we worship, or as you worship amongst other congregations that worship Jesus. What will we be doing in heaven? Well, we'll be worshiping God with each other. We'll be eating and drinking from the Lord's table. We'll be singing praises to Him, ever singing praises to Him. And what do we do here? Well, we worship Him. We sing praises to Him. We eat and drink from the Lord's table. Worshiping God is better than anything else because it is a preparation for who we will be with and what we will do and where we will be for all eternity in heaven. Well, you might say, what about everything else? I'm only here on Sunday, and will we all only be worshiping God in heaven? Won't we be able to do other things? Well, of course, you will, and you do other things here on earth as well. And so God says, I won't hold anything back from you. Verse 11, no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. He will always provide for you and give you good things. You know, God, he's never going to give anything to you that is not for your good. That's a promise. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purposes. So God will always give you what is good for you. And you should never doubt him for that. And you should always trust him. And if you do, you'll be the happiest person on earth if you do that. As our passage concludes here, a Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Happy is the one who trusts in God. So the happiest place on earth for the Christian is in the presence of the living God and with a God whom we can trust. Now let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you have blessed us and that you have made us happy to be with you in worship. And we thank you that we can call upon your name, that you hear us, that you answer prayer. We thank you that you have made us as doorkeepers in your house. Lord, what a joy it is to serve you and to serve in your kingdom. And we pray that you would bless us as we do, and you would be glorified as we do that. Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.